Now let's please turn in your Bibles to Luke 21:9. And when I say that, I'm really saying, I hope, and I am posting these studies, the notes for them on the website for each study, the Harmony of the Olivet Discourse, updated August 25th, 2021. And so we're really going in the handout that we're using here tonight, which lays Matthew, Mark, and Luke in a side-by-side column comparing. We're actually going to page 3 to read, to get into this, get into the study that where we left off, starting in verse 9. And as a review, just for those that might be just joining us today, this is the Olivet Discourse, because Jesus was discoursing on the Mount of Olives, so they call it the Olivet Discourse. That's how theologians refer to it. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this. And the most important part is verse 7 in Luke, where it says, "So they asked him, saying, 'Teacher, but when will these things be, and what will the sign be of these things are about to take place?'" And the other apostles, Matthew and Mark, record, or Matthew and Mark, disciples, followed. They record that there's a total of 4 questions. And so when we read this whole account, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have to say, okay, Jesus is answering this question of the 4. And Jesus is answering this question of the 4. It's really important to do that, and it's going to be the most important in our study today, because many people have been confused because they don't understand that. And so let's read 9 through 11. Again, answering the questions. And Jesus, they asked him the question because Jesus said, "This temple that you're seeing that you think is impressive is going to be destroyed. Not one rock is going to be left on top of another. It's not going to just be, burned. It's going to be burned, and all the rocks, all the huge stones of the temple are going to be, left on the ground. Not one stone on top of another." And they go, "Wow, when is that going to happen? What's the sign of the end of the age? And when is your coming?" So, verse 9, "But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful signs and great signs from heaven.'" And you see in the column for Matthew and the column for Mark to the left, you see Matthew chapter 24, verse 8, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." And then you see Mark saying, "These are the beginning of sorrows." And that word sorrows is literally the same word that's used for birth pangs. So what God is saying is that when you see these things, towards the end especially, we're going to get into what question is he answering here. When you see these things, it's like birth pangs. And what do women know about birth pangs? I can't say we. What do women know about birth pangs? When they come, they go, "Oh, okay." And, it's not too big of a deal at first. And then the next one's closer and closer and more intense until they're screaming at you and you're doing nothing but trying to help. I could give exactly what happened there. That was it was actually her saying, "Kevin, it hurts," and I told the doctor, "Hey, you need to stop doing that." And he goes, and I was in the military at the time, and the doctor said, "Would you like to leave?" I was the first husband in Tripler Army Hospital in Hawaii, because we did the Bradley childbirth method. That's when, the guys used to sit out in the room, smoke the cigar, wait to find out if it was a boy or a girl. That was the generation that I was in. And so natural childbirth, we're way off topic here, but natural childbirth, we pushed that we wanted to do it. And we were the first ones to be able for the dad to be in there in an army hospital. And I almost got the first one to be kicked out too. So I shut up after that. But anyway, getting back to this, so it's going to be more and more intense, and it's going to be the beginning of sorrows. And so are we seeing an increasing pace of craziness coming upon the world today? And I would say we haven't seen anything yet. Imagine, and really, what are some of the things? List them off right here. What are some of the things that are happening? Obviously, the big one is COVID-19, okay? Huge, changing the whole world. What are the other things that are happening? Yeah, and we've always had earthquakes. We've always had these other things. We're going to talk about that. There's always been diseases. I mean, 40% of Europe died in the Black Plague and stuff. But we're just seeing droughts and things that are, you know, in my lifetime, there hasn't been so many of these things that just hit.
And in places that have not seen them. I have friends in Jersey that hit with tornadoes that once in a lifetime
today. Yeah. So now imagine that it goes to biblical levels of earthquakes, where it's like, wow, we didn't have an earthquake today. Didn't have an earthquake today. I mean, it's going to be that kind of a scenario. Did you hear that Mexico just had another big one? And there was another big one in Mexico that just happened yesterday. And the other amazing thing about it that we'll cover on a Sunday evening service, well, I'm jumping ahead, but there's earthquake lights. So if an earthquake happens at night, there's major earthquake lights, lightnings. And why is that? Well, we'll cover it someday. It's tied to the hydroplate theory. It's tied to the hydroplate theory. And one of our evening services, one of the evening services will cover a video that I did an hour and a half teaching on earthquakes 2012 update, why they're going to be global. And we'll cover that at that time. So, but let's start with verse 9. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for the end will not come immediately. Now, I'm going to say that answer from Jesus covers two time periods. It covers the immediate time period dealing with the destruction of the temple. Because what ended up happening, you know, 40 years after Jesus says this, what happens? War, you know, the Jews were saying, we're going to get rid of these Romans. They're going to go away. They're going to be tired of us because we're fighting them. And they're going to go away. No, the Romans said, no, we're going to kill you. So is that a war? That's a war and a rumor of a war. And what would the Jews have been thinking as they saw all the Roman, the Roman legions outside the gate, starving them to nothing? I mean, they are starving and eating their own children, according to Josephus, and eating their own children, and actually mobs of survivors going through and saying, "You look a little bit. You don't look skinny enough. Where's your stuff?" You know, think about this. This is stuff that people think about today, and they would say, "You look. You don't look skinny enough. Where's your stuff?" And they'd kill them. They'd say, "You're going to show us where it is, or we're going to kill you right now. We'll kill your family." So this is what's going on inside of the Jerusalem walls, according to Josephus. And they would have been thinking, as they now are mostly slaughtered, and the rest just are running for their lives to wherever they can get to, they would have been thinking, this is it. This is, we're done. And then you go from 70 AD to about 130 AD, there was another uprising. Okay, we'll gather together, we'll uprise against the Romans, and we'll take them on. Nope, they lost too. And then they're completely, you know, disarmed, gone, scattered. And, you know, 130 turns into 500, 1,000, 1,500. And then all of a sudden you're into 1945s and, you know, just people are being slaughtered, and you would be thinking the end is near. Nation against nation, you know, kingdom against kingdom. They would have been, we're done. And Jesus says, no, you're not done. This is not how it ends. For you Jews, that is not how it's going to end. You're going to be around till the end. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation. And that literally, the Greek word is ethnos. Ethnos against ethnos, kingdom against kingdom. So there's going to be the breeding of ethnic hatred towards each other. And is that being set up in the world today? And it's not just here. I mean, people go, why can't we not keep our borders? Why can't Europe keep their borders? Why can't anybody keep their borders? Because people that want to depopulate the world and want to take charge of power after chaos ensues, is they can They can bring ethnos against ethnos by stuffing them all in the same pot and shaking it up. And that destroys nationalism. It destroys we're Germans, we're French, we're Spanish, we're American. It's destroyed by the fact you become such a melting pot, all that's gone. And then they actively pursue hatred of nationalism by, you know, who cares about the American flag? Burn it. It's not our flag. We came from someplace else. We don't appreciate it. And all of a sudden you find within your own country there's no nationalism. Well, that's all part of the globalist plan to bring about live local, think global. You're a global citizen. You're not a national citizen. So this is a very deliberate act of the borders being opened up by the elites in charge of immigration services at the highest levels of government to just force this problem. And all it takes is all it's going to take is a spark to get ethnos against ethnos. And millions could die. And then when the millions are dying, and this is, I think, going to be after the church is gone, but it could be starting before it happens. When the millions are dying, people will be reading this section of scripture, which is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there will be nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But that's not how it ends. How does it end? With Jesus coming back before everybody dies. So he's saying, don't be thinking the end of the Jewish race has happened. The end of humanity has happened. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. I will cover a little bit more about that when we come back. But I want to go back to verse 9 and think, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, I want to then go to verse 20. I want to skip from verse 11 to verse 20. And we'll come back because only Luke covers the answer to one of the questions that Jesus asked. And that was the most important of the questions, really, in a way, because they ask the question because Jesus says, see that temple is going to be destroyed. Only Luke records the literal answer of that question. And it's in verse 20 to 24. And you might say, no, wait a second, Kevin, Matthew says the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. And we'll look at that. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. So how long after he wrote this, after he said this, did it happen? About 40 years. And what happened? Jerusalem was completely surrounded by Roman armies. Know that Jerusalem's destruction is near. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Everybody that's in southern Israel, you better get off to the mountains, which meant get over. The runaway place was Jordan. You know, that's the way to get out, is to get over to the east side of the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. And let not those who are in the country enter her. If you're in the country, if you're not in the city of Jerusalem, you better not go to Jerusalem. Don't try and sneak in past the Romans. When you see the Romans starting to put their legions around, don't be thinking, I'm going to go visit Grandpa in Jerusalem. For though these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. God's vengeance saying Jerusalem would be destroyed. Old Testament prophet Daniel said that Daniel chapter 9 says that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword. They, Jews, will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Did that literally happen? Literally, absolutely happen. And it's being fulfilled to this day, isn't it? So is Jerusalem trampled underfoot of the Gentiles today? Yeah, it is. I mean, Israel still has their security guards there, but who actually is in control of Temple Mount? It's the Jordanians. And in fact, I have in here And when did the time of the Gentiles start? The time of the Gentiles didn't start in 70 AD, because what was going on in the time of Jesus? Who was trampling Jerusalem then? The Romans. Well, before the Romans were trampling Jerusalem, who was trampling it? The Greeks. And before that, who was trampling it? Medo-Persians. And before that, who was trampling it? Babylonians. And when did the Babylonians start trampling it? 586 BC. So, and people have trampled Jerusalem from 586 BC until today. And there was an opportunity for that to not happen. And that was when? That was in 1967, when for the first time in 2,000 years, the Jews had complete, total control of Jerusalem. And they defeated the Arab armies of the Jordanians. They took complete control. They put the Jewish flag on top of the Dome of the Rock. And they said, it's ours. And they're weeping. I mean, the Orthodox are just weeping and crying and rejoicing. You know, now we can make a third temple, and this is awesome. And what did Moshe Dayan do? Moshe Dayan, the famous Israeli general with the patch on his eye, he was a secular Jew, was disgusted with Orthodox aspirations of a third temple. And this is what he said. It's in your notes here, page 4. Of the notes, it says Wikipedia, and it says, Dayan, in one recollection of that day when the Jews took over, having seen rabbis flocking on the Temple Mount shortly after the Jerusalem was captured in 67, he goes, what is this, the Vatican? Can you imagine? The Jews are amazing the way they hate their own culture. Kind of like Americans nowadays. Hate their own culture. A famous general wanting to save the state, but he wants it to be a secular state. He doesn't want it to be anything to do with Yahweh and God. And he sees him, what are you guys doing? Treating this like it's a holy city? Yeah, it is a holy city. I mean, and as I covered in Malachi Sunday, you know, we as Christians have no holy city, right? Our holy city is in heaven. The only holy place is in a relationship with God, and he's inside of our hearts. But God has a plan for Jerusalem. It is his city for the Jews. And the relationship between him and the Jews, it's a holy city. And a Jew should have said, this is ours. But prophecy had to be fulfilled. Dayan later ordered the Israeli flag removed from the Dome of the Rock and gave administrative control of the temple over to the WAF, the Muslim Council out of Jordan. And Dayan believed that the Temple Mount was more important to Judaism as a historical rather than a holy site. So, it says, and they will fall by the edge of the sword, going back to Luke 21:24, and will be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And that's going to be, well, how do we know that it's going to still be trampled into the future? You know, are the Jews going to build a temple again? Yes, according to the Bible. In fact, according to Matthew 24, Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, tell a little bit more about that. That requires, for standing in the holy place, that requires for there to be a holy place, that requires for there to be a temple. So Jesus says there's going to be a temple. Paul said that there's going to be a temple in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says that the Antichrist is going to go into the holy place and defile it and declare himself to be God. So that requires a temple. So Jesus said it, Paul said it, and John said it, because in John chapter 11, he's given a rod in chapter 11 of Revelation, not John 11, Revelation 11, John in Revelation 11, was given a rod to measure the temple and the courtyard outside that's given to the Gentiles. So Jerusalem remains trampled under the Gentiles until Jesus comes back. And that's when the Lord is going to save his people. So we know the Jews have to be around until then. Now, when you look at verses 20 to 24, you'll notice a big difference and a small difference. See, it sounds a lot like when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then you have to get down from your housetops and you must immediately run to the wilderness, and you must get down and don't even get anything out of your house, and you got to run. Well, that sounds a little similar to this, doesn't it? Because they're supposed to get out and, you know, not go to Jerusalem and go out. But here's the difference. One says, when you see it surrounded by armies. The other, which Luke is, and only Luke. The other one says, when you see the Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Well, that's different. That's a man going into the temple declaring himself to be God, the Antichrist. And when he commits that abomination, then the Jews are supposed to leave right now. And you better hope it's not on a Sabbath day. See, Luke doesn't say, you better hope it doesn't happen on a Sabbath day, because you don't get a whole army surrounding a city on a day. But you do have an Antichrist going into the temple and defiling is going to happen on a day. So on that, you better hope that that day that he does that is not the Sabbath day, because you're not going to have, the Jews will be observing Sabbath. They go, I'm supposed to run that prophet Jesus now that we rejected. Maybe he was right, but we're doing Sabbath and we can't run anywhere because that's work. See, God is even showing in the scripture there, the Jews are going to be totally orthodox during the tribulation period. During the first part of the tribulation period, they're going to be totally orthodox. And they're going to say, I can't run. It's the Sabbath. And God says, you better hope it's not the Sabbath, because you've got to run. So there is a difference. And here's the problem. You know, people like Hank Canegraph, who's a preterist, and says that all of the Olivet discourse happened in 70 AD. He goes, how can you even think? You know, look at what Jesus said right there. That was fulfilled in 70 AD. So all of this stuff, it's close enough to what Matthew said. The abomination of desolation in Matthew was Titus when he went up onto the Temple Mount with his horse. Did he go inside the temple? No. Did he defile the temple? No. Did he commit the abomination of desolation? No. Well, close enough for Hank Canegraph. He just says that and Luke are the same, and then says it all got fulfilled in 70 AD, and Revelation has no applicability to today, and the Jews shouldn't even be around because who cares about them? And that's what the preterists say, because they don't understand. Luke is recording the answer to one question. Matthew is recording the answer to the other question. What's going to be some of the signs of the end of the age and your coming? And so for Matthew, he's recording, well, here's the answer to the sign of the end of the age and the coming. There's going to be an Antichrist, and he's going to defile the temple into the distant future. And then Luke, he says, and this is a sign that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, for this temple that I told you is going to be destroyed. It's going to be when you see it surrounded by armies. So does everybody see the difference there?
Yeah. And what about being led away captive in all nations?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So being led away captive into all the nations. And oh, man. I mean, just think of the miracle that there are still a distinct people, the Jews, that didn't have a homeland for 1900 years. If you had everybody in the world hating you because of your Jewish name and your Jewish nose and Jewish whatever they wanted to say, you would want to go get a nose job and change your name. You would do anything to get away. You know, why be persecuted? But you know what? Miraculous. And see, it has to be miraculously. And that is what flies in the face of these preterists and these replacement theology people. If God wanted to dump the Jews at 70 AD and say, forget you, I'm done with you because you killed Jesus. If that was what God was thinking, why did they miraculously stay a people identified, even though they're mixed with the rest of the nations and they're hated and persecuted? It's a miracle. You know, and the Old Testament prophesied that they're gonna speak the pure language again. They've lost their language. Nobody spoke Hebrew. And you know, 1800s, this guy says, we need to restore the language. Probably not like, oh, because the Bible says so. He did. And all of a sudden, Jews decide we need to speak Hebrew. And it's restored, just like the prophet said. I mean, it's miraculous. So, again, going back to verse 11, and there will be great earthquakes, various places, famines, pestilence, fearful sights. And I emphasize on page 5, there have been great famines. Have there been great famines? Millions have died of famine. Millions of people have died of famine. Pestilence, 40% of Europe died in the plague. Can you imagine that? You know, 40% of the people died in the Black Plague that hit Europe. Earthquakes throughout history. But Luke records great earthquakes. And we recently went through the study of Revelation, and Revelation 16, 18 through 21 predicts a great earthquake where every island is going to be moved, gone, and every mountain is going to be moved. Now, have we had one like that? No, we haven't had an earthquake like that. You know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, earthquakes are increasing. And that's kind of hard to say it now. And you can go to the USGS website and learn how. There's a way you can play with it. You can say how many earthquakes has there been in the last 5 years. And then you got to pick, well, what kind of depth do you want for the earthquakes? What kind of magnitude do you want? And all this stuff. You can do all these queries. And I've done the queries. And, you know, using just random numbers. And you can't really say there's a major or increase in earthquakes depending on which magnitude you pick. And, but, so people debate it today. Oh, no, that, you can't say that there's more earthquake. It's just there's more people and there's more seismometers and so we can tell more and blah, blah, blah. There's going to be a day coming where nobody's going to debate it. You're going to be coming, you know, somebody's going to be inventing shoes with springs on them so that you don't, you know, big wide shoes. In fact, you read the account of Darwin's, when Darwin was on the ship, he recorded an earthquake where literally people were on the ground and it was everything they could do to keep from being tossed vertically up into the air and twirled around. They would get down on the ground and have their arms out to try and keep from being rolled around and blown away, you know, I mean, by the earth, just bam, and just kicking you up in the air. Now that's an earthquake. And they've already happened. But here's the thing, is the Bible talks about, Revelation 16, 18 to 21, it's a global earthquake. And, as you'll see when we do the earthquake 2012 update video, in preparation for that, which was taught down in Costa Mesa, Calvary on a weekend day. It was Creation Science Investigation, CSI. The guy that put it together did a spinoff of CSI, Creation Science Investigation. And based on the hydroplate theory, there will be a runaway global earthquake someday. And we'll talk about that in the video. But seismologists, based on what they think is the cause of earthquakes, I contacted one, wrote one. Actually, I had Conrad do it because my email address has Calvary PO, so I had to have somebody else do it so they wouldn't be thinking anything. And so he asked, you know, could there be a global earthquake? And his answer, no way. There's no way there can be a global earthquake. So they're not thinking right. They're not thinking of what the true cause of the earthquakes are. And let's go to 2 Peter 3, 5 through 7. And you're going to have to actually go to your Bible here because it's not in your notes. Second Peter 3, 5 through 7, very important passage. Okay. Okay, yeah, I have it. Yeah, I don't have the actual quote. I don't have the actual quote. I have the reference in the notes, but I don't have the quote. It says, I should go to 2 Peter 3, 5 instead of 1 Peter. For this they, last days people, willfully forget that by the word of the God of heavens were, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water. And we're not going to take time, but that's an incredible statement. It's saying the earth that we stand on was standing out of water and in the water. That's a very important piece of info. We'll cover when we do the video. By which the water that it was standing in, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which now exist, are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, if there is a global earthquake, two things that are tied together that the secular scientists don't really have an appreciation for, and I've talked to a seismologist over in the University of Washington about this too, is that earthquakes and volcanoes are tied together. I mean, they should be sitting in the same room, but they don't. You know, the volcanologists do their thing, seismologists do their thing, totally tied together, as we're going to see in the video. And when there are global earthquakes because of the runaway earthquake that's going to occur because of the deep earthquakes that are happening today, greater than 220 miles, are destabilizing the inner mantle of the earth. And when there's going to be a day that last deep earthquake that destabilizes the inside is going to cause a cascading effect throughout the globe. And there will be global earthquakes. Fissures will be opening up. Magma will be bursting up. There will be fires and burning all over the world. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about. It's going to get worse and worse and worse, and then bam. Then it's going to go global. And so it's going to be like people have never seen. And they think that, okay, the Ring of Fire is where whatever percentage, very high percentage of earthquakes over in the Ring of Fire surrounding the Pacific Ocean. But, you know, there should be no earthquakes in the middle of Australia. There are a few now, and they can't explain it by the evolutionary plate tectonics mindset. Antarctica, same thing. And some of these other places, it doesn't fit their model. And what's going to happen is all over the world. It's not going to matter where you are. It's not going to be like, I'm not on the Ring of Fire, and so I don't need earthquake insurance. It's going to be all over the world. In various places, great earthquakes. And we'll cover that when we do the thing. Josephus recorded signs in the heavens, and I know we'll try and finish this part. Oh, by the way, let's go pestilences, page 5. As a final note, Jesus also talked of pestilence and famines in these passages. If the world ever experiences a biological weapons attack, the full weight of this prophecy will sink into the hearts of survivors. Have we suffered a biological weapons attack? You know, as of yesterday or the day before, I think, there was a huge dump because of Freedom of Information Act, a huge dump of Fauci emails and correspondence that proves it was a bioweapon. COVID is a bioweapon created by Fauci. And will he go to jail? Probably not. He's an international criminal that could be shot for what he's done. He is responsible for the death he is responsible for the destruction of the way the world was before COVID. And it's a fact now. They have the correspondence and the proof that it's there, and you'll not hear anything in the media about it, in the regular media, but it is a done deal. It's a bioweapon. And you know what else is a bioweapon? The shot is the bioweapon. And so we're creating a pestilence. And imagine what's going to happen when truly the long-term effects, if the people that were believing because of their extreme brilliance in the medical fields of immunology, etc., and they're saying in the next few years we're going to have millions and millions and millions of people die from the jab. And just imagine what the world is going to be like. And remember when you just didn't even care about being sick? You never, so-and-so's got the cold. Oh, so-and-so's got the flu. Oh, they went to the hospital. Okay, go visit them. And now it's just like, one family called me from here, and Kevin, my brother, hates me because he's blaming me for getting this other person, coming to a party where there was a place and inviting him to a party where there's somebody that got sick, and now they're sick. Somebody got sick. In 1 year, we have been totally freaked out, and imagine what's going to happen in the coming years as people die. And God told us in the last days there's going to be these famines, pestilences, earthquakes, things that are going to be happening. And see, those are birth pangs that are, we haven't seen anything yet, but we see it all getting ready to happen. And can we trust the Bible? Can we trust our Lord Jesus? He knows the end from the beginning. Should we believe him and trust him and not believe and listen to any of the nonsense that's going on by the global elite that are deceiving people with their propaganda into a time of trouble like the world has never seen? I just got an email from a guy that's in the National Guard, and they're forcing everybody to get the jab. And he says, here's a Q&A. You know, I've attached, the general attaches a PDF of all the question and answers associated with the jab. And I read that, and it's just like lie after lie. I mean, documentable lie after lie after lie. And I just go, man, what? It truly is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because they did not love the truth, God will give them over to a delusion that they will believe the lie. And so I bet you that guy who wrote that thing could sit down on a lie detector and just be flatlined and think that, yeah, I just told the truth on all this. And you can see that just the absolute twist of the truth and just flat out lies. And that would be easily refuted by the people that know and have trained us to know what the truth is. And so we're there. We're getting close to there. And so let's keep that in mind. Walk in holiness with Jesus. Remember the days that we're in and just love him. And thank him for saving us from sin and from this corrupt and going to hell world that we're living in. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you didn't leave us as orphans. You did give us prophecy. You wanted us to understand your prophetic words so that we would know the season that we're living in, and we would look up because our redemption is drawing nigh, and that we wouldn't fall for the lies and deceptions of these global government elitists that want to deceive the world into their grasp of power. And as we really see that most of the people are like sheep to the slaughter, God, and they won't even listen to us, that they're going into the ovens of the last days, and they think that they're going to be fine, and we're the fools. And we just pray that, God, you would help us to help them open their eyes to the truth. If there's anything that's left that hasn't been completely deceived by Satan, that you would help us, Lord, to minister to them. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship Jesus in this song.
Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men unto me.
And as I emphasize on Sundays and all the time, you know, the first words out of our mouth, are you a Christian? Yes, I love. Why? Because I love Jesus, and he is the one that saved me. We lift him higher. We tell people it's because of Jesus I have life, and you need Jesus too. Let's lift him higher so all the world can see. It's the only way out of this thing. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again. Thank you.